From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Barrie View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body, with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Drumright. It's Friday night at jackaloperadio.com. Good to hear you all. Good to be heard. And the world's a crazy place out there, and we're going to try to put some peace into your minds as we read from the Tao Te Ching and go into some other techniques and hobbies and habits that you can adopt to be healthy in these times of change. Let's get started with the verses from the Tao Te Ching and Dr. Dale's book. I don't know if I told you this before, but I found some of these books at Barnes & Noble, or Borders, I guess, whichever one's not bankrupt.
Yeah, that would be Barnes & Noble, I think.
Barnes & Noble is still around. I found some of these at half off up there. They were like $12 or $15 a book for the hardback, exactly like the one I'm reading out of. If you hurry up there and get those, I might go out through this week and buy out every one they have left and put them in the clinic here, because these are awesome books. Verse number 62, rehearsals for the great integrity. The great integrity is the sanctuary of all human beings. For those who are honest and caring, it is a guide and a treasure. For those who are dishonest and deceitful, it is also a treasure because of a good word can rationalize a selfish act. And because a good act, now and then, can serve as a mask for living extravagantly from the misery of others. Since the great integrity is so universally acknowledged, don't cast away those who use it opportunistically. Rather, cast away the opportunities to live selfishly so that the great integrity can more fully permeate all of our lives. We might begin with the inauguration ceremonies of our leaders. Instead of showering them with precious gifts, instead of the public swearing meaningless oaths, why not share meditation on the great integrity as a prelude to its compassionate embrace? What a concept that would be. Dr. Dale, the main premise here is that no human being is born evil. As other verses explicitly state, it is quite the opposite. We are all born as innocent, inextricable parts of the great integrity, incapable of any corrupt act. We learn to be dishonest from a society that rewards deceit. Lao Tzu suggests that, therefore, don't reject any person, but rather cast away the opportunities to live selfishly. Then the great integrity will more and more permeate our lives, fulfilling our essential natures and needs. Of course, such a premise is opposite to the doctrine that we all inherit the original sin of Adam and Eve. Had Lao Tzu known of Genesis, he might have proposed that the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden was a metaphor, not about eating from the tree of knowing and reason, but from consuming the fruit of rationalization to justify the institutionalization of inequities among human beings. Lao Tzu argues that our solution to corruption and immorality is not to cast away human beings, but to cast away the system of temptation and opportunities to abuse others. But the fundamentalists among us would say that Genesis is no metaphor. It is a literal historical account. Since belief cannot be productive subject for debate, we might shift the discussion to a question of good-humored and non-judgmental, facetious levity. How in all these centuries of religious paintings has Eve always inherited a navel? He challenges the religious dogma here. I mean,
good. I'm glad.
This is the as we move through these verses, you can see Dr. Dale is getting more and more hardcore or in your face kind of stuff. I mean, he's very, very gentle soul, but he gets to the point where you just got to ask the tough questions. You got to go there, because if nobody goes there, then the rest of us don't go there, and humanity doesn't evolve the way it needs to evolve right now.
I agree.
63. The secrets of getting things done. I kind of like that one. Act without acting on, work without working at. Enter bountifulness when it is still insufficiency. Answer with kindness when faced with hostility. Begin a difficult task in its easy stage, because large problems grow from small ones. Begin a large task in its formative state, because complex issues originate from simple ones. But beware of those who promise quick and easy solutions. Accept problems as challenges. In this way, the sage accomplishes great tasks without ever having to struggle with them. Let's go back through that, because these are some very heavy points here. Begin a difficult task when it's in an easy stage, because large problems grow from smaller ones. When people have a problem in their back and they learn how to compensate for it instead of dealing with it, or take that aspirin to numb the pain out and let it sit there and fester, they are not handling the small problem. And then eventually the small problem leads into a terrible problem that brings them into my office with herniated discs. And now it's going to be very expensive and very long time to get your body to regenerate itself back to balance or back to the great integrity. So when your body starts tweaking or signaling you, you have about 3 days. If it goes away in 1 or 2 days, then you've just pulled something and everything's going to be fine. But if the signals from the flesh bag body are still talking to you after 3 days and it's not getting better, it's very important to go do some investigation. Go to the chiropractor, go to the doctor, ask some questions, become more informed of what's going on in your body so that you can handle it while it's still a small problem and doesn't turn into a very big problem later that's harder to handle. Begin a large task in its formative state, because complex issues originate from simple ones. Complex issues we've talked about the Ptolemaic principle. Ptolemy was a scientist and a mathematician that lived before Galileo's time. He was famous and hung out with the Pope and the kings and queens of the time, because he had figured out how the Earth was the center of the universe. And he could use these very complex, eloquent math equations to prove how the sun, the moon, Jupiter, and all the visible planets and stars in the sky would orbit around the Earth. This was adopted as status quo. The society was built on it, but it was very complex. So it set up a division in classes. You had these people that were smart enough to understand Ptolemy, and then you had everybody else who were just the kind of the humdrum ho-hos that went out there and paid their taxes. Galileo came along and said, look, let's move the sun in the middle and mess with things. And what he understood is when a system gets so complex and the problem is terribly complex, the solution is simple. It's going to be back at the very beginning assumptions of the entire complexity. So if you see something in your life that's very complex and it's just constantly getting more and more complex, don't try to solve it in its current state. Dig it apart down to its basics. Figure out what was wrong way back at the beginning of the equation and do something to correct that. And it's usually your own actions or your own belief systems that needs to be challenged. And then when you come forward, the complication is gone. You have a clearer vision of what's going on, and you're much closer to the great integrity and in balance with your society and your nature and your well-being of your body. Lao Tzu's secrets from getting things done are: 1, act without acting on; 2, work without working at; 3, begin at an early stages of a process; 4, answer hostility with kindness; and 5, avoid illusory, easy solutions. What he means by acting without acting on, working without working at, and accomplishing without having to struggle is to become part of a processes in motion rather than to work against processes. Acting on, working at, and struggling with are all coercive activities, and Lao Tzu's most important advice in life is to avoid coercion. It is, of course, precisely opposite to how most of our institutions are programmed. Young people, for the most part, go to school because they are required to do so. Adults go to work because if they don't, they will not receive the necessities of life. Most people go to church because they believe if they don't go, they won't go into heaven. Most people don't commit crimes because if they do, they will go to prison. Even most babies and young children are accommodated to the system of coercion by physical punishment when they do something that displeases their parents. Lao Tzu says all this is wrong. The use of force indoctrinates us into behaving contrary to our human natures and contrary to the great integrity. Line 3 in the extant Chinese version is omitted because it seems irrelevant to the rest of the verse and incomprehensible. It reads, "Taste without tasting." He's just giving a highlight note there. So the one piece of this, the number four is answer hostility with kindness. This is very important, especially when we're talking about what's going on the world stage right now. We are illustrious leaders here. I've recently killed a man named Osama bin Laden. This man has been blamed for massive evil and perpetuity across the planet. I'm not going to get too much into who did what or when and where, but you know what? He's dead. So it's time for the good people to move on and get away from their fear-mongering and learn how to be kind. I asked something the other day that was very timely. In America today, which Bible do people follow? The Jewish Bible says an eye for an eye. The Christian Bible says turn the other cheek. These are very different messages. One of them says vengeance. Take it back. Always tit for tat. It leads to conflict. It leads to an evolution of violence. One against the other, back and forth. You're fighting it out. Nobody ever wins because every time you lose face, you got to go do it again. It's a perpetuity of violence and coercion that Lao Tzu talked specifically against. Be soft, be flowing, defend yourself. Don't be a fool. But when violence or something strikes out at you, recognize it for what it is, flow around it, and get away from it. Don't strike back. It does you no good, and it does the situation no good, and it does your children and the future generations no good. Avoid illusory easy solutions. The modern American psyche is nothing but illusory easy solutions. A modern term that I see that corresponds with illusory easy solutions is hypocrisy. Do something one way and then say something one way to sell something and then do something completely different. It's just rampant in our current culture, and it's frustrating as can be to try to be a moral sound person in a world full of, Ho said, an emperor of lies, telling the truth is a crime. And that seems to be where we're going and where we're at these days. It's getting more and more scary out there. So that's verse number 62 and 63. What we're going to go on as far as in the radio show, I'm going to spend some time on something that I wrote this week called the 21st Century American Code or American Oath. I'm going to challenge anybody out there. You don't have to be American to understand this oath, and I want you to listen to it closely. And I feel like all good people out there will be able to understand this and commit to this with me. If you have problems with it, if something that doesn't conclude your understanding of where you stand in life on the planet, then please email me and let's have a healthy conversation about where we go from here, because we certainly don't have any leadership going on right now. And the leadership that is in place or trying to be in place are all, what's another big word I just learned recently? It's demagogues. You know what that word means, Todd?
Yes, I do.
To use violence to get your way, basically that you believe in force of the state, but you want to be the one in control.
Yeah.
You see this big struggle between the right and the left trying to own the power of state. Well, demagoguery is completely the opposite of trust and liberty. Completely the opposite. Either the people, you trust the people to run their own lives or you don't.
Right.
And if you don't, you can call yourself right and you can call yourself left, but you're still a demagogue because you want the centralized power, but you want to be in control of it. So they wind up fighting each other over who's in control of the superpowers, when in the meantime, the rest of the people suffer tremendously from their fights and arguments.
Right.
So here's my code, Todd. I mean, and I'm glad I got you on the mic, because tell me if any of this doesn't make sense. There's four parts to this. On my honor, I promise to never kill or harm another person unless I am me or my family are in mortal peril.
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. Number two, I promise to never take or break anything that doesn't belong to me.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay. Number three, I promise to never use of force or fraud to make somebody do something that they don't want to do.
Definitely sounds reasonable.
Okay. And number four, I do not grant any other person or government the right to do any of the previous three things to me or in my name.
Sounds perfectly fine to me.
So when you make this oath or this pact with yourself, basically, this is an oath of honor. This is like the Warrior's Code. except for I've watered the Warrior's Code down, and like the Pirate's Code, you know, this is a situation where you, as a flesh bag, real human being, understand who you are on the planet, and you want to stand with honor with your neighbors and your friends. You're making this commitment to them and challenging them to make the similar commitment back so that you can trust them, because if they're not willing to make these simple four commitments, then how can you possibly do business with them? How can you possibly trust them? How can you possibly turn your back on them? Because they've failed to understand that human society is based on interpersonal relationships and honor. It's not based on contracts, even though contracts are useful if they're applied with honor. Without honor, you just got tit for tat, scrubbing back and forth and counting the money. I mean, everything in the current legal system has no respect for honor at all. It has to do with equity. You have one side or the other that's counting money. And if this side has more money than that side, then they're going to use the court systems to try to rebalance things out and make things equal. Doesn't respect justice. It doesn't respect honor. It doesn't respect the truth. Nothing like that happens. They try very hard to keep things out of jury systems so that they can just settle these contracts without any discussion over the soul, over honor, over what it means to be a human being.
It makes sense. That's the thing is, if everyone would follow their own, this kind of pattern in life, and they would come up with similar things, that what you're talking about here, I think people get along a lot better. But you'd have to follow those rules. I mean, it's one thing to say them, but people got to follow them,
And when you have a culture that that can make these kind of commitments and actually have a code of honor like this, and then everybody in the community recognizes that this is the code of honor, because honestly, this is nothing new. I mean, this is the way Americans are supposed to behave anyway. And if you don't behave on any of the things, we have a situation in place. If you go killing somebody or hurting people, you're going to be arrested. Okay, and rightfully so. You're going to be put in a cage. You're going to be held away from the community that you don't seem to be able to keep your hands to yourself. You can't not hurt somebody. So we have a format for a legal system. The problem is that it's gotten so out of hand as far as social interactions and telling you what to do and you can't do. Whenever the law is just a social thing saying you can't do this or you can do that, even though you didn't hurt anybody, that's not legal. That's just code. That's just them trying to manipulate your behavior by use of force. Not a good thing. And so when we start having more people acting with honor and understanding that you cannot live with honor unless you're willing to have the courage to let other people have the same freedoms that you so demand.
Right.
And it doesn't work if the other people don't want to do it like that. So I kind of run into this pattern of people that they don't trust themselves. They have this, remember how we talked about earlier about the original sin and how from this honor-based system, you have to come from the standing that everybody is ultimately in the beginning good.
Right.
And that they're trustworthy until they're corrupted through deceit or through injury or through just constant exposure to, that's just how it works. That's how the system works. That's how you get by, all those kind of sleight of hand rationalization comments for evil doings. The person is naturally in the center good. So if you get all the obstructions out of the way and leave them alone, they're going to go plant a garden. They're going to go do something productive for themselves and their family and operate in a good manner.
Yep.
Well, we have a culture that is force-fed this belief that everybody at their core is ultimately evil. That if you leave people alone, they're going to do evil things. They're going to kill people. They're going to take and break things. They're going to disrespect and not live with honor, not have any understanding of honor on their own. So you have to consolidate force and have this strong arm system that's going to tell people how to behave. It's going to tell people what they can put in their body. It's going to tell people what they can't do to their body. It's going to tell them what time to get up, tell them what time to go to bed, tell them what kind of car to drive, and tell them everything about it so that you have a society that's safe. Safe for the people that are afraid of everything. But those of us who don't have that fear get really harassed and bashed around and It's like bullies, People that operate in out of fear are bully people. And those of us that like the wayseers we talked about last week, we butt up against that because we cannot be caged. We cannot be contained. No matter how bad your philosophy is that men are evil and they have to be contained, there's a number of us out there that just certainly will not be contained. And with that energy bubbling and circling out of there, we have to find a place where we can be free. And we can be living in trust, and we can be with honor with each other. And I believe that place is right here. So I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to change it. I want to reintroduce or re-wake up the current and next generation of Americans and earthlings that this is your time. This is the time to look into your heart for the answers. Don't look to the authorities for answers. Step out. Do the right thing. Live with honor for your neighbor and your family and your friends and read Lao Tzu because it gives you a lot of good good technology in here to follow. All right, Todd, you want to take a break here? And we'll get back. We're going to talk about osteoporosis. I'm not sure if I've mentioned that recently, but that seems to be the fad recently. I have patients asking me the same questions. And when I hear two or three times or four times in 1 week the same question, it reminds me that there must have been a seminar around here misinforming people. So we're going to talk about the details of the bones. We're going to talk about the cells. And we'll be right back. You ready for that, Todd?
I'm ready.
All right, dude. We'll see you guys in a minute. This is Dr. Jerome Wright, the Harmony Health Hour. It's Friday night. Grab a cold one.
Listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
Yo, all right, this is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour. We're going to talk about your bones. Your bones, that's the skeletal, and that's when you rip up all the meat and all the vessels and all that other stuff. What's left is these bones. You think of bones as the skeletons laying in the corner that are all dried out and crumbly and calcium and all that kind of stuff. Well, that is absolutely the wrong way to think of the living skeletal system that's inside your body. The living skeletal system inside your body is actually some of the most dynamic tissue, dynamic meaning changing, it's updating itself constantly. Did you know that your red blood cells, which are dying off every hour, they only live a couple hours, are produced inside your skeleton? The bone marrow produces the red blood cells. And many of the white blood cells, your immune system cells, are produced in the bones as well. So this skeleton, this hard structure, not only does it give you your shape and what you look like, it operates as levers and mechanisms for you to get up and move around and get from the dinner plate to the bed. It does even more exciting things to you. Now, it's kind of a fad here in America today that for the middle-aged people, and it actually is maybe up to a year ago, the lab studies around here come up with a new blood test where they could check your vitamin D level in your blood. Now, we've seen large advances in understanding of vitamin D over the last 20 years, and absolutely, vitamin D is a miracle compound. It prevents cancer, it's an anti-inflammatory, it helps with calcium absorption, does all kinds of cool things for you. But your blood level of vitamin D, especially in the wintertime, is going to be naturally low. So what happens is you go and the doctor directs you to this new $150 lab test that comes back almost invariably that your serum or blood vitamin D levels are low. And then your well-intended medical doctor says, well, how do we get the blood serum levels of vitamin D up? Well, we give you vitamin D vitamins, pills. Here, take these pills. Well, I'm sorry to say, from my 20 plus years of research into this, supplemental oral vitamin D is not only not good for you, it is dangerous for you. It can cause calcific deposits in your kidneys and your liver and all the deep organs of the body. It aggravates arthritis. It does all kinds of things to you to get it that way. But vitamin D actually is good for you, so you need to get it somehow. And I think this is becoming common knowledge, and I hope it is, but vitamin D is produced in your skin. It only takes a few minutes exposure, depending on how dark you are, to get large doses of the hormone D3, which your body uses for calcium utilization throughout the body, not just in the bones. See, that's why it's important to the immune system, because calcium is used in the nervous system, it's used in the muscle systems, it's used throughout the body for a number of things. Probably the most important thing is the pH balance in your blood. Now, we're not going to get into that topic too far. We're just going to say that that's where calcium is used a lot. So you go and you have this one blood test, say that you have low vitamin D, and the doctor starts wanting to give you vitamins. But then they have these other tests that have been around for several years that are called bone scans. Now, if you got good insurance and you're really concerned about your health, it seems like going and getting these tests is a good idea. And if it's just for information purposes, I have no problem with that. Please be as most informed about your body as you possibly can. And these kind of exams can certainly help you understand your body a little bit better. But bones work on a very specific principles that we're going to go into a little bit here. There's a principle called Wolf's Law. Wolf's Law, and you can look this up in your anatomy books, is a principle that shows when you take a bone and stress it, it will actually build an electrical charge on the surface of the bone. When you take a curved arc, you have an inside of the curve and you have an outside of the curve. The inside of the curve is called the concavity. The outside of the curve is called the convexity. Okay, so you have the convex side and the concave side. The concave side develops a negative electron charge, and the convex side develops a positive electron charge. So what happens with these charges is that the cells of the bone begin to operate by this electrical charge and literally tear down the bone on the outside and build up brand new fresh bone on the inside to re-straighten the bone. Now, I'm not going to get too deeply into this, but I want you to bear with me for a second here. There are three types of cells. Remember I talked about the body is 2 trillion cells? Well, in the skeletal system, there are three types of cells just within the main bony parts of the skeleton. You have the osteo, which means bone, cytes, which means cell. The osteocyte is a very large cell that shows up on the microscope clearly that looks very similar to a neuron or a brain cell. So think of the osteocytes as the brains of the operation for the bones. So your skeletal system is your structure support, and it has a network of brains inside it, or nerve cells, that are always in contact with each other throughout the skeletal system. And they also have contact with the actual the main nervous system, so that your brain can coordinate what's going on throughout this very exciting, moving system. Then you have two other kinds of cells in the bone. You have what's called an osteoclast. A clast means to destroy. All right, so I want you to visualize a little Pac-Man. Waka, 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 waka. And quite literally, if you look in the microscope, the electron microscopes that can actually leave the tissue alive, you'll see these long tubes up and down the bone. If you take an old dry bone, a chicken bone, or even a beef bone's better, and you look into it, and you see all those holes in there, those are the trabeculations. Those are caused by the osteoclasts, which are the Pac-Man in the bone. Now, osteoclasts are important because right behind the osteoclast comes the osteoblast. An osteoblast means to produce. I know blast sounds like you're blowing stuff up, but blast in Latin cell speak is a constructive action, not a blowing thing up action. So an osteoblast, think of them as little cement trucks. They're running through these tubes with their little cement trucks, and they're laying down fresh bone behind them. So you 24/7, when especially under stress, you have this little reaction going on. You've got the brains of the outfit that are just telling everybody what to do, keeping in contact, keeping things going. Then you have the clasts, the Pac-Man, waka 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 waka, running around chewing up bone, eating out old bone. And then you got the cement trucks following in behind them with their trowels, cementing all nice and fresh bone. All cool if the bones are stressed. The problem occurs in a sedentary lifestyle. Now, sedentary lifestyle means you sit on your butt all day long, okay? In front of a computer, on a couch, doing nothing. As you do that, your body, the bones, are not stressed. When they're not stressed, Wolf's Law doesn't kick in, and so the body uses the calcium out of the bones for other purposes, to keep the pH balanced, for muscle contraction, for brain function, all these other purposes that it can use calcium for. So the only way to keep your bones strong is to exercise, weight-bearing exercise, stay on your feet. Now, this brings us into another important topic of, see, when you go to the medical doctor, I hope I understand that. Todd, did that come across okay?
It did.
This is how your bones work? All right. So if you break a bone, it doesn't actually fix. It actually eats up the broken bone and lays down fresh bone. So you get all fresh bone wherever a bone's broke, and it actually callus formations and collapses, and you can get stronger bone there. But when you go to the doctor and you do these bone scans, especially this is for your middle-aged and elderly women that really get this scare tactic thrown at them, they say you have osteopenia. They will say that you have osteoporosis. You have thinning of the bones. All these terminologies are a sign that through X-ray, your bones are not as dense as would be expected. So you get this label of thin bones. And very likely, it is true, you do have thin bones for one reason or the other. The two primary reasons of thin bones are not enough exercise to strengthen the bones, and soda pop. Soda pop leaches calcium tremendously because the primary use of calcium in the body is as a buffer calcium bicarbonate in the blood. So when you consume acidic foods, fried foods, meats, soda pop, these kind of things, the body has to keep the pH in the blood balanced, and it will sacrifice everything to keep the pH balanced, because a significant swing in the pH and you die instantly. Not good. So in order to maintain that, your body will sacrifice the calcium out of the skeletal system and lead to these conditions called osteoporosis and osteopenia. Not to worry, the body's only 6 weeks old, right? It regenerates. So what we have to do is understand what's going on and then make lifestyle changes to begin to guide the skeletal system back into its more vibrant health. What does that mean? That means you have to get up off the couch, you have to get out of your chair, get away from the computer, go shake and dance and exercise and do something vigorous consistently, or at least for 6 weeks, to guide the cells back into their more blastic activity or creative activity. Now, that's not what the doctor tells you to do. Your medical doctor, who deals with drugs, absolutely, God bless them. I know they have great intentions here. Okay, I don't want to be bashing anybody in particular, but their system of information is that there's chemical external solutions for every problem. And they have these drugs. Fosamax is the perfect example that comes to mind. That what these drugs do is they kill the osteoclasts. All right, now, which one were the osteoclasts? The osteoclasts are the Pac-Man. Waka, 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 waka. So what you got here is denser bone because the osteoblast dump trucks or the cement trucks are still laying in fresh cement, but you didn't tear down the old cement. So you got more cement in the mix, but you got old cement that's crumbly and dry and not functioning and not healthy. So you killed the osteoclasts and let the cement trucks, like it's like putting paper wallpaper over a hole in the wall or something like that, or just laying new pavement over a hole in the street. You didn't fix the hole, you just laid new pavement over the top. So you get a nice thick pavement, but the problem is it's very fractured, it's very broken up, it doesn't have good integrity to it. So you see a large uptick in recent studies, a recent observation in hospitals of severe collapsing fractures of the long bones of the leg. So instead of a hip fracture, these people's leg bone right in the middle of the leg is exploding under no weight, step off a curb kind of thing. And this is unfixable because the entire length of the bone has been laid down and laid down after layer of blastic activity without tearing out the old bone. So you've got months and maybe years worth of old bone all built up into this mass of unorganized gunk that when it breaks, it doesn't just break, it literally explodes. And then the only thing usually this is a death sentence. I mean, when this happens, especially to an elder person, I mean, you're going to have to cut off the leg or you're going to have to put some kind of metal long bone in there, which they're not up to. And it's a very devastating situation if it gets to that point. So to recap what we just said here, when you go to the doctor and you get exams, it's good to have the information available to you, but don't jump right to the next chemical that he's going to recommend. That chemical was recommended to him, and it wasn't explained to him how all this works. Believe me, if you ask him about the osteoclasts and osteoblasts, he'll remember that from his medical school, but he hasn't used that knowledge in his clinical experience for many years. Depends on how long he's been out of school. The same thing with the 2 trillion cell population of the body. I mean, this is common knowledge in medical school, but it's not used on a clinical basis. So you won't see the guys in the lab coats out there even thinking about you as a cell population. Their training is very quick. They've got to get in and get out. They make the diagnosis, make the entry on the piece of paper, and then the book tells the computer what that entry means, and then you go to the next step and you get the chemicals that go along with that entry. Sad, but true. So when they want to give you a chemical for osteoporosis, listen to the idea that your bones are thinning. It's important to know that. You need to think about blood pH, though. You need to think about exercise. I definitely recommend not taking those bone chemicals. I'll tell you what, and this is predictive because we did this with Vioxx in years past. This is going to be a lawsuit in the not too distant future. And what you're going to see is these patented drugs for osteoporosis are going to be left on the market until the companies have made enough profit to cover the legal expenses at the end of the drug run. They did this with Vioxx. They did this with the weight loss, the FinFin, remember that stuff? The way they do it is when they put the drug on the market and get the patents, they price it in such a way that it'll have a run, either a 10, 12, or 20-year run. And at the end of the run, they're expecting class action lawsuits. They're expecting to have to pay a lot of people off. But if they can calculate that the profit of the sales over the run of the medication will more than pay off the lawsuits at the end and make a profit for the shareholders, then it's a good thing. Now, to to get this good thing to work, you have to be deceitful to the doctors. So the doctors are not trying to harm you. They really, really mean to help you. But the problem is the exposure to the information that they have on a very busy schedule, regular basis, does not include the basic cellular physiology of what's exactly going on. All they think about is exam, diagnosis, treatment, follow-up. That's how their system works. And if they step out of that system, they're threatened by lawsuits and all kinds of really nasty, scary things for them. So these people have put their whole lives into trying to be a doctor. And after 12, 14 years of education, they finally get out there and realize they're not working for the people. They're working for the insurance companies and the lawyers. That has to hurt. I see these boutique clinics opening up where the doctors are accepting cash patients only. And I think that is a perfect solution to the healthcare crisis in America, is that the doctors have to cut their prices and realize they're in a service industry. You know, this isn't about the mansion on the hill. This is about helping people. And the people have to understand that you should be paying for your healthcare yourself. You don't give all your money to some government entity and then think that they're going to set the standards and take care of you in the future, because believe me, that money's already gone. It's been ripped off a long time ago. You're not going to get your money back. All your Medicare recipients and those guys, I'm sorry. I mean, you got ripped off a long time ago, but don't try to rip my kids off just because you got ripped off. I mean, we've got to stop this somewhere. And that brings us back to my statement earlier, guys. I mean, if we don't, the good people of the world, stand up and develop a quick, easy-to-understand honor code and put this honor code in all languages, so that when you look somebody flesh in the eye and shake their hand, you can know that this person understands what it means to be honorable. They understand what it means to respect each other, regardless of what color you are, regardless of how old you are. Nothing, and none of that stuff matters. Your options of what you do in the privacy of your house has no bearing. When you're in the culture, you understand you can't kill or hurt anybody. Neither can they. You can't take or break something that doesn't belong to you. Neither can they. You can't make somebody do something they don't want to do, and neither can they. When we all understand that, then the police officers will be heroes again, because they understand this philosophy that they can't take or break something that doesn't belong to them either, just because they have a badge. There is a mechanism of justice to order to keep the bad guys off the street, and it doesn't include sacrifice of liberty of everybody on the planet. I want to walk like an Egyptian, Todd. I want to see freedom reign. I want to see the corruption thrown out. I do have great hope for the Earthlings on this planet. I really do. How are we doing up there?
You could take a break if you want.
Okay, let's take a break, and then let's come back and do some farewells, and you guys launch you off and maybe some prayers for Mississippi River, because there's some crazy stuff going on there. Put on some music for us, Todd. This is Dr. Drumright and Harmony Health Hour. We'll see you in a minute.
You fake.
listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right. Well, I got a little piece of information off the press here. There's a new research out of the University of South Carolina that backs up what I've been talking about all the time about healthy living. It seems as Dr. Dana King has set out to find if middle-aged adults could reap the rewards of habits like eating vegetables and walking 30 minutes a day. Research reported in June 2007 that middle-aged adults ages 45 to 64 who began eating five or more fruits and vegetables every day, exercising for at least 2.5 hours a week, keeping weight down and not smoking, decreased the risk of heart disease by 36% and the risk of death by 40% in the 4 years after they started. The adopters of a healthy lifestyle basically caught up. Within 4 years, their mortality rate and rate of heart attacks matched the people who had been doing these behaviors all along. It's never too late. You get in your 40s and your 50s, and there's other studies I've got that show people in their 80s. You put them on weight-bearing exercises, and within a few short weeks, the body reverses itself. It regenerates. It does amazing things. The four key habits are eating 4 or 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. And I got vitamins that can kind of cover some of that, some of my superfoods and different things you can get to that. Exercising 2.5 hours per week. I recommend more than that. I recommend 1 hour a day. Every day you should spend some of your time exercising your body. Push-ups, set-ups, pull-ups, jumping jacks, stuff like that. Not smoking and maintaining a healthy weight. And those are a little arbitrary. But what the study says is it takes all four. Having just 3 of the healthy habits yielded no heart benefits and more modest decrease in overall risk of death. Still, Dr. Davis at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, these benefits are on a continuum. It sounds like an Einstein thing. The more the healthy habits that you can adapt, the better. These are modest changes that they're talking about. I teach in my office every day that you have the rest of your life to get this right. You know, you're going to die of something, so there's no judgment here at all. But if you want to have a happy, longer life, you've got to own your body. You've got to watch what you shove in your face. You got to train it every day. You got to get good sleep, and you got to get fresh water. These weren't in that study, but they're equally important to me. And then you got to have a purpose. You got to have some morals. You got to have a reason to live, because if you don't, you're going to be sad. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be on drugs. You're going to have just a miserable time. And why waste life on such misery? Have fun. Hey, Todd, you want to make any announcements about coming up, what the rest of the shows tonight are?
Well, tonight we've got Dean Haglund up next, Chill Pack Hollywood Hour. And then after that, we've got, of course, Brad Westmar Show. And he's on... After that is the Nightbreed Show with Ghost Getter. So all it's right. A pretty big night and a lot of fun around here on Fridays.
You fill up the Friday nights. Now, I'm going to be on your show Tuesday night, right?
Looks that way, yeah. It does.
All right. So you got any topics you want me to talk about, or are you just going to hit me by a bunch of questions or something?
Well, I think we're just going to have some fun. All right. Talk about all kinds of stuff going on.
I need to lighten up a little bit. I know my show is kind of heavy here for a Friday night. But I feel like I'm trying to educate the world out there and do my little part to bring some sanity to a very insane world.
You are.
Well, it's a communication revolution. Everybody's waking up all over the place. I had an awesome conversation with a 20-something who was explaining to me wisdom doesn't come with age, and I agreed completely with him. I told him the American Indian philosophy that wisdom is in the children, and it's the elders' job just to keep things together long enough for the next generation to fix the problem.
There you go. There you go, for sure.
So there's where my hope lies. We about out of here, Todd, or what's going on?
We've got about 5 minutes. About 5 minutes.
All right, 5 more minutes. Okay, so let's talk about the water. Do you clean fresh water? I mean, when you just hit all these things, they're so basic when you get down to it of what it takes to be healthy. You've got to look at your body as a living ship that you're the captain of, that each day you got to evaluate things. I was talking to a middle-aged man who's about 4 years older than me, and I'm 48, and he looked like he was 20 years older than me, and he had grandchildren, and he's interested in changing things around. And so I had to start off easy with him and tell him, you know, look, you've been working hard. How long till you retire? And it's still another 11 years before he retires. And he's already burnt out. I said, you've got to start doing something besides putting all your effort out into the world. You see, a lot of people walk around and they think exercise for an hour and a half a day. Well, I exercise because I work. Well, I'm sorry, but that doesn't count, because when you work, you're using your cells, using your chi to assemble things and do something out in the real world around you to build something. And so you're leaving your essence behind through this process called work. It doesn't cultivate your own health. It actually diminishes your health because you're giving it all away. So we have to have some of your precious, valuable time, and I know how important that is, spent on cultivating your body through training. Training really is, I have five key exercises: push-ups, set-ups, pull-ups, very important, find something to grab a hold of and hang. Even if you can't pull up, at least hang from a bar and let your arms stretch out and let your back stretch out. Hang there and pull your knees into your chest a couple, two or three times until you can start getting a little more strength. Remember, your body works gradually. These strengths will come up as you use them. And again, you have the rest of your life to get this right. So you have push-ups, set-ups, pull-ups, jumping jacks, shake the body, dance, do something for cardio to get things moving. And the other one that I would add to that is lunges. You want to do a shallow lunge, half step forward, make the back knee touch the front heel. Do this 10 to 12 times, two or three times a week. This small series of exercises that don't need a gym, you don't need equipment, it's all just with your body. The best thing you need is something to hang from. And you can train your body and lose weight and gain power and gain strength and do amazing things to reverse the aging process. And like this study here says from Dr. King, you can literally, in a matter of 4 years' time, reverse all aspects of the aging process and get yourself and your body back into a condition and shape equivalent to somebody who's been training their entire life. Now, that's not fair for me and people who have been training their entire life, but you know what? I love you. So I'm glad that you can do that. You can catch up. You can reverse your diabetes. Okay. You can reverse your arthritis. You can reverse your heart disease. These things are not permanent. They are there because of our culture and the efforts that you, that the lifestyle that you've been exposed to. All right, guys, that was a fun night. We got lots more shows coming up for you on Jackalope tonight. This is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour signing off. You guys have a great weekend. Love y'all. And the heart.